Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. This is my dad, Ted.
Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. I'm your host, Ted Knightsky. Well, here we go. We are heading into celebration season here in the United States. So many traditions that, well, they're going to be disrupted, and so many heavy emotions for lots of people. But a lot of people who seem to be spending too much time being upset about not being able to get together. So many people that are frustrated with the inability to repeat the honored routines of the past, and so many people carrying a dark cloud over them. What? Come on, man. What a great problem. Seriously, look at this. We have restrictions during COVID to be with our family, direct contacts, the people we love the most. What is supposed to be a big weekend of Thanksgiving has so many people walking around in a funk. It's sad. I feel compelled to remind people that this is a great problem. Number one, we're alive. Number two, we have optimism in our future. Number three, we have people in our lives that love us. Too many people saying things like, well, what if this is the last of this? What if we don't get to? What if we never? What kind of weird mindset is that? Imagine for a moment if you lived life like that. Wait, really? What if you lived life like it was all on borrowed time and you had to make the most of it? Yeah, that would be pretty awesome. That would be living life Buffalo style. That would be living life like it had immense meaning every second of the day. That would be living life with purpose and passion. That would be living cognizant of the simple fact that we have one shot at this amazing thing called life. The other day, I was offered a challenge in a daily reflection I was reading. Here was the challenge. If you woke up every morning and your job was to spend $86,400 before you went to bed, could you do it? And every cent you didn't spend, you lost. Never to have again. Could you spend $5,400 every hour if you were awake for 16 hours a day? Some of you right now are like, heck yeah, I could. But to spend that much money every day, you'd have to do it purposefully, not wastefully. I mean, in my house, oh my gosh, we'd finally be able to realize our dream of having the Buffalo for You Foundation, where Megan and I would live out our dream of supporting at-risk kids through travel and mentoring and support. I'd have a lot of vinyl records, and I'd hire Bono to play Charlie's Wedding, and I'd have a yellow Porsche, but okay. Could you spend $31,536,000 a year? As I was sitting there reflecting about it, I loved the challenge. Well, then I turned the page for the second part of the reflection. It said, you have 86,400 seconds today to spend on yourself and others. And will you spend it or will you waste it? Boom. I was like, oh my gosh, they got me. I sat there thinking about how much energy it would take to use those seconds wisely, but I accepted the challenge. And that reflection stuck with me all week, almost haunting me. Every minute I was sitting idle, I thought, I'm wasting my seconds. Because so many people have been hammering on the sadness of the holidays coming up, and I just sat there thinking about all the seconds wasted worrying about things people can't control, and all I can think about is how blessed I am. Do you remember the history of Thanksgiving? It's a celebration of survival, of the pilgrims who made it through a horrible season filled with disease, starvation, and death. It was a celebration of, we made it. 2020, it needs to become again what it was 399 years ago in 1621, a celebration of survival, a giving of thanks, and a recognition that the people close to us are critical for our life and success, and that many, many other people helped us get to today. Yes, we traditionally get in people's homes with lots of people, eat, drink, argue, watch TV, and eat some more. We visit, we love, we laugh, and we live. But I want you to really think about how lucky we are, how great of a problem it is that we need to stay close to the ones we're closest with. Life is very precious, and we need to remember that. I'm asked many times, why are you so positive? I'm not totally certain, other than it feels good. Much better to be in charge of my life through positivity than charged through life negatively. But I do have to share with you a fuel I have been consuming to keep my mindset right and keep me moving with optimism. Last year, during the holidays, my middle brother, Tom, was staying at our house, and he was in our living room early in the morning and on his laptop. And when I came into the room, his face looked empathetic and concerned. Now, before I explain why, I need to share a little bit about my brother, because he's actually a father, but he doesn't have kids. He's 3 years younger than I am, and when we were kids, I think we tried to kill each other weekly. As kids, we just never really had a lot in common. I liked sports, competing, hanging with my friends, and listening to music, and, well, I don't know what Tom liked. I have many stories about him, but I can't publish them because I'm not sure what the statute of limitations is with our mother on the crimes committed against the house and in her house growing up. We grew close when we left the house. Like many brothers and sisters who are close in age, separation makes the heart grow fonder. He left and went one direction of service, and I went in another direction of service. I took the road into teaching, and so did he. I was teaching high school and middle school, and he was teaching everyone. I mean, my kid brother, who I had very little respect for as a kid, is now one of the people I respect the most. He taught and worked with homeless people, drug addicts, people with mental and physical disabilities. He moved to Rome and studied. He lived and served in Belize. He lived in a leper colony in China. He lived and worked in an AIDS orphanage in Kenya. And like me, he ended up teaching in high school. Our missions were service, mine to kids and communities, and his to God. My little brother is a priest. He is Father Tom Knightsky, SJ, a Jesuit priest. And that's how he is a father with no kids. Just a few hundred members of his family in each community he joins. Tom has fueled my perspective and empathy for the last 18 years on his journey. His stories have also fueled my optimism and given me more to be grateful for on my own life journey. So when he was sitting in my living room with his laptop on his lap and had a somber and empathetically concerned look on his face, I wanted to know why. He handed me the laptop, and it changed me in a big way. That day, I walked into the other room of our house, opened up my own laptop, and applied to be part of his mission after reading only a few sentences. You see, he was correcting papers through a program called Jesuit World Leadership, and their mission is to educate men and women around the world. It's a bachelor's degree program run through a network of Jesuit universities around the world and primarily housed in the United States, for us, at Regis University in Denver, Colorado. What was in that paper? Well, it was a young woman talking about how she saw the world and how she was grateful for what she had, even though she had been through literal hell to get into the program. You see, all the students live in refugee camps around the globe. They're all displaced, living in camps in countries that won't necessarily even let them live there freely. Families that depend on others for food, people who in one nation may have had a middle-class lifestyle but now live in a home that's not even theirs, that very few of us would even live in a country not their own, and they live with 20,000 or 200,000 people from all over their region who have only one thing in common. They're refugees, and they've had to run for their life, leaving everything and sometimes everyone behind. I applied to be on the staff, was accepted, and was very excited, and now I teach courses in leadership and one about entrepreneurship. My students are in multiple countries all over Africa. Some are in northern Iraq, and some are others are in Afghanistan. As I approach Thanksgiving, while I will miss my extended family and all of the traditions, I will not for one moment waste 1 second whining about what I don't get to do, because I have spent the last year learning why Tom had that empathetic look on his face. You see, in the past year, I've received emails and assignments from places all over the world that I've never been, from people I never imagined I'd have a relationship with, and doing work I never envisioned. Some empathy fuel by reading some of the emails and excerpts from the papers I've corrected. I've learned to love my students because they all seem to share two core values, perseverance and tenacity. They've had to get up and stand out in some incredible circumstances, and they have had to fight through their environments. Last January, I got an email from a camp in Afghanistan. Dear Professor Knightsky, I want to apologize for my assignments being late. Last week, the Taliban blew up the cell towers outside our camp, and we did not have internet service for a week. Could I please get an extension? I was like, the Tali, what? Okay, sure, of course you can have an extension. That email now hits me every time I drop a call while I'm driving or my internet is slow when I'm at home or at work. You know why? I have no threat of violence like this. I have not one worry about the internet. Heck, I used to get upset during a significant storm in our house when the power went out for a couple of hours, and many of our students, they don't even have power. Taliban attacked a university in Afghanistan. We received an email that several colleagues from JWL may have been involved. It was very humbling. 32 people were killed and 50 injured in that attack. I once received an email from a camp liaison that said the rains have been incredibly heavy this spring and several of our students were washed away. Washed away! But not to worry, as they would eventually turn up. And sure enough, they did. I don't have problems like this. These are the emails. The assignments? Oh my goodness. They fuel empathy and perspectives in ways I never imagined. Now, most of our students speak English as a third or fourth language, and yet they work with dedication to get this degree with hopes that they'll use it as a ticket out. Course I teach, they have to do several assignments that describe leaders and leadership. I send them my podcast, so I sometimes get to read my own words in the writing, and that's very rewarding and humbling. However, the real reward comes in the simple fact that these men and women, they are spending their $86,400 every day. Why? They've experienced such trauma in their lives that they have hope. Hope like I've never had. They have overcome things I hope never to experience, and I can barely imagine. Discuss the difficulty of daily life. Standing in lines in the heat, waiting hours for monthly rations from the United Nations only to have them run out right before their turn. And then having to go back to their home and barter with others for foods. When I'm at Costco now, and there are a million people standing in line looking frustrated and angry and upset, and they're impatient because they've got their 400 pounds of butter, I just smile under my mask and I let people go in front of me. I'm like a crazy person. Oh, go ahead. It's fine. Because just standing there, I'm happy to be alive. The papers of the students in the Middle East who have had to leave Syria or Iraq detail death, destruction, abuse, rape, murder, theft, arranged marriages, and untold misfortunes you can't even imagine. So now when I'm feeling myself getting upset that I can't cook for 40 people and enjoy the craziness of our holiday traditions, that moment of pity just washes right through me. We have the best problems. At least I do. Each day presents so much to spend, and with it an opportunity to invest in so many. Here's my challenge for you. Instead of sitting around wishing you had more, I want you to take a lesson of what I've learned from my students in Africa and the Middle East. Fuel your day with hope. Their papers are not filled with what they could have done if they weren't in a refugee camp. They're filled with what they're going to do moving forward, filled with enthusiasm about the little things, a respect for the opportunities they will have and the chances not yet even realized. The challenge is to take the time you do have with the people you get to be with and celebrate the traditions you will be able to. And sit around and think about everything you're going to do in the future. The things you will be able to have again. Shift your mindset and don't focus on what you'll miss this year, how it doesn't feel the same, and sit and wish for what you won't be able to have. No, do the opposite. Talk about the future and future Thanksgivings. Take time to celebrate what you've got, who you've got, and what you got to do this past year. Regret is created by wishing the past had been different. Life is fueled with hopes and dreams and envisioning a better future. Being grateful for what we have and who we have, and most importantly, by what we make of each day, is critical. This week, there are 7 days, each day worth $86,400. And my challenge to you is to spend every cent on the future. Bring optimism and positivity to all around you. And when you run into a moment of pessimism in others, simply say, yeah, but we get to be here. And we have this time. And we should focus on making it the best. So let's do some smart thinking. Describe what it is that you have that you are looking past. List how you can spend your $86,400 each day this week, and list those in your life that you can fuel with a little blind and buffalo optimism. That's it. That's the Smart Thinking Podcast. Hey, as always, thank you for listening, and please make sure to rate and share this and other episodes on whatever platform you listen to it on. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and look for the daily Smart Thinking Reflections on Twitter each morning. Also, thank you to the Well Pennies for their awesome music. Happy Thanksgiving, Brian and Sarah. Now, I realize that my words ring hollow on some, because this is not going to be easy. But if every family has a buffalo at the table, someone who will charge optimistically into the storm and show everyone a different way to look at things, maybe. Maybe we'll come out of this with hope and optimism about what we will be and a gratitude for what we have. You guys know my passion for music. And the other day, this song came on and I was like, here we go, another great ending. There's a great artist and songwriter named Ben Rector, and I've played a few of his songs before. But I want you to go and buy this song or download it on your music service, because here is the refrain to his newest song, the Thanksgiving song. It goes, so fill your plate and fill your drink and fill this house with family, the kind of love that all these years can't wash away. Because the older that I get, I see that life is short and bittersweet. Thank God for this Thanksgiving day. I love this song because it describes what was and what will be. The deal here is simple. Make the most of it. Remember that you get to be there. Remember that others need you to bring the hope. Remember to be Buffalo. Remember that you matter. Remember that each second matters. And remember to give thanks. Be well and happy Thanksgiving.
Familiar highway. Lined with leaves turn brown, making my way back into my hometown. Funny how this all looks different, but it feels the same. Like how life never stops changing, but some things never change. So fill your plate and fill your drink and fill this house with family, the kind of love that all these years can't wash away. 'Cause the older that I get, I see the life is short and bittersweet. Thank God for this Thanksgiving Day. Watching football, watching families grow. The old kids' table all have kids of their own. Starting to see my grandfather in my nephew's eyes. Mom still can't talk about him and I'd almost cry. So fill your plate and fill your drink and fill this house with family, the kind of love a thousand miles can't wash away. 'Cause the older that I get, I see life is short and bittersweet. Thank God for this Thanksgiving Day. So fill your plate and fill your drink. Put your dishes in the kitchen sink and let the leftover year just wash away. 'Cause we made it through, I do believe, the longest year in history. Thank God that it's Thanksgiving Day.